I want to give people the tools to have the conversations and not damage their lives and other people's lives because they were unable to actively express what they want and need.
Last week, we talked to Lise Wilcox about the importance of putting yourself first and living your life as your most authentic self. This week, I am so excited to introduce to you Paul Fishman, a self-love coach and a You Do You activist. In this episode, Paul shares some personal stories from his road to self-love and about the shifts that have come along the way with saying yes to himself after years of not doing so. Welcome to the Safe Haven, a space for stories to be shared about the lights and darks, highs and lows of life. Because this recording took place during the COVID-19 isolation period, we talk real talk about numbing practices and how they have been stripped from us, and how Paul has embraced this time to really look at himself and shift some of the narratives in his life. Full disclosure here too, Paul and I recorded this on April 9th before all of the deep COVID-19 emotions had really hit me, and before I'd really had the opportunity to digest everything that it was, has been, and is now. After listening to this recording several weeks later, I completely acknowledge that my emotions rode roller coasters between this recording on April 9th and where we're at today, and that I needed to exercise all of the things that Paul and I discuss in today's episode.
My name is Paul Fishman, and I like to think of myself as the personification of a safe haven.
Love
and,
it.
I am a self-love coach and You Do You activist, and my journey is rooted in saying yes to myself after years of not saying yes to myself and toxically silencing my true desires, wants, needs, and people pleasing. Like, I was a people pleaser through and through, and it was so powerful for me to step out of that life of saying yes to others and no to myself into this light of saying yes to me and let's talk about it to others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my self-love journey really started around 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, as I said, I was a people pleaser. I was living my life for others. I was working a job that didn't serve me. I was in an emotionally abusive relationship. I had toxic relationships with friends, and all in all was straight up miserable. And I had this aha moment when I got up one day getting ready for work and I looked in the mirror and I was like, who is this person staring back at me? Like, I did not recognize myself. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I didn't remember the last time I had recognized myself. I was just kind of going through the motions, living my life the way that I thought other people wanted me to live my life, and really searching out for the external validation. And it just came to a point where it was not exciting. It was not happy. And it was just so damaging for my life. And at that point, I said, I've got to do something about this, and made some really massive, drastic changes in my life. And for that, I am forever grateful for me finally saying, you know what, I deserve love and acceptance from within. And then I deserve to ask for what I truly want mm-hmm. from others and myself.
What were some of the challenges that you faced when you had to make some of those shifts and some of those changes for yourself? Because I know that a lot of people that would be in a scenario or would be just hating themselves or in a toxic relationship or amongst toxic friends. I mean, there's such a variety of different really shitty places that we can be. What kept you going on your journey through this? I mean, it must have been a challenge.
Well, see, the hardest part for me was looking at people and saying, hey, this isn't working for me anymore. It has nothing to do with you, other than the fact that I was sacrificing myself and pretending like it was about you. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that me not speaking my truth, me showing up for everyone else but me, was even, I would say, more damaging to other people than it was for me. So it's like having those difficult conversations and saying, you know what? I fully understand that you are maybe taking this from a place that it's about you, but the reality is that this conversation has nothing to do with you, and I'm taking complete ownership of my actions and want you to just know that I have to say yes to me, and unfortunately that means that we're no longer going to be in each other's lives.
How did people respond to that?
Well, I mean, I was young. I was like 24, 25, and wasn't really capable of gracefully doing this work at that time. I didn't have the tools in my tool belt. I was going at it alone. I hadn't started therapy, or I hadn't hired my first coach yet. So it was really tumultuous, to say the least. Like, I was such a coward in the way that I did some of this stuff. Like, getting out of the relationship, I packed up all my stuff while they were out of town and just moved out and called them and said, I'm not going to be here when you get back, and then blocked their phone number. And it was really tough. But at that time, I was in survival. Mm-hmm. I wasn't capable of doing it any other way. And I think that that's the most important note for myself, is that like, I didn't have the tools. And that's really what fuels me doing this work, is like, I want to give people the tools to have the conversations and not damage their lives and other people's lives because they were unable to actively express what they want and need.
How did you start to find those tools, like you said, for your tool belt or your toolbox that helped you grow?
Well, I believe that the universe delivered these tools to me because I was in such a place of need for them, that my journey, when 10 years ago, I was living in New York City, and I was at this place where I didn't know what was up, what was down, what was all around. And I left New York after I had this big like awakening and moved back in with my parents at the young age of 29. And
yeah.
And immediately started going to therapy. Mm-hmm. And within therapy, I discovered a new opportunity to share what was happening with me and then receive reframes or different mirrors of what I'm saying in a way that isn't as aggressive and egoic and almost narcissistic. So It was really important for me to, and I still go to therapy, like it's really important for me to continue mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. practice, because self-love and compassion are not finite. We're not going to wake up one day and say, oh, I love myself, I don't have to work on it anymore. That the beauty of this journey is that it's always everlasting, it's always continuous, it's always happening. And I celebrate that I'm never going to be this perfect vision of self-love, because that would kind of be boring, and it also is just not realistic. So getting these tools, what looked like me going to therapy, looked like me having difficult conversations, looked like me refusing to notice the resistance in my body around specific scenarios and continuing through a pattern of suffering, whether that was continuously getting into the same fight with my father, or after leaving the emotionally abusive relationship, continuing to attract the same type of partner, but in a different body, right? So it's like, until I gave myself permission to relax and notice that I was doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, until I cut the cord of that self-sabotage, I wasn't going to ever, ever feel fulfilled, which I'm so happy to report that I feel very fulfilled now in my life, because I'm willing to look at the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to look at the shadows. And that's ultimately what this work is.
Absolutely. When you just mentioned self-love there, I really want to spend some time with you. I feel like you are the ideal person to talk about self-love and compassion with. And so that's why I was so excited. I was just elated to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you, because right now, in particular, globally, we are all experiencing something that we have never experienced before, which is the coronavirus and COVID-19. And now in particular, I feel like self-love and looking after yourself is going to look quite different for a lot of people. And we're going to be forced to exercise or explore different ways to look after ourselves best. And I wanted to kind of see what your thoughts were on that.
This is a big conversation that I've been having with my community, with my clients around how to navigate uncertainty and the unknown. And it's really, really important for me to first point out that as humans, we are energetic beings. We are all made of energy, and your energetic movements are going to impact other people's energetic movements. And as much as we want to deny it, we are all empathic. We are all connected. And right now, because there are so many people experiencing loss and scarcity and anxiety, it's really, really challenging to detach ourselves from other people's feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. So there have been days where I've woken up and felt really, really anxious around things that I'd never felt before. And what I get to do is sit down and write out the things I'm anxious about and name if those things are actually mine, right? Am I really anxious about losing my job? Well, I'm self-employed, so how would I lose my job? Like, I could fire myself if I wanted to, but why would I do that? You know? So, So, and within that, understanding that self-love, as I define it, is the devotion to your individuality. The self is the individual, and love is devotion. So what we're doing here is we are realizing that if we are not devoted to our individuality, our story, our journey, we are going to get sucked into everyone else's. And in a time like this, when it's uncertain and we don't know when this is going to be over or what life is going to look like after it, there's a big challenge, because if you suck yourself into that and lose your individuality, you're just going to get really, really stuck in the anxiety and the fear and the unknown. And those emotions are very much the killers of creativity and confidence and empowerment and determination and willpower. And a lot of us are feeling very comfortable in those feelings and emotions. And the reality is, Amanda, that it's okay. You know, it's okay. If that's how it is right now, that's fine. Like, just notice that you are experiencing things that aren't yours and give yourself permission to release them. It might not happen in a minute. It might not happen in a day, 3 days, a week, a month. And as long as you're noticing, that's the biggest step. And I really truly believe that that's the first step in self-love, is noticing that you might be even denying your individuality, or you might be denying the fact that you want to do something, but you're so terrified of what other people are going to think of you.
Mm-hmm. What are some personal practices that you have that if you are experiencing those lows, that you just can bring yourself back to center to continue?
So this is a really, really important thing for me right now, especially because what I'm experiencing, you know, the true story of Paul Fishman during COVID-19 is that a lot of my numbing practices have been ripped away from me. The numbing around travel, the numbing around human connection, the numbing around going out and just watching a movie or, recording my podcast, The Road to Self-Love, like all of these things have been placed on hold. And I'm stuck looking at my shadow self and realizing that now is the only time. And it's really a gift to look at myself and shift some of the narrative. So the things that I do when I am feeling really stuck in that like gross, icky, anxiety, worry feeling is I will do my best to incorporate some type of movement, whether it's, you know, riding my Peloton or getting on Instagram and having a live dance party, or if it's just like shaking out my shoulders, or that gets the stuck energy actually to move. Because what I'm finding is that a lot of my clients who have come to me to really learn how to habitually nourish the devotion to their individuality, they're saying, Paul, I felt like I was so far ahead and now I'm so far behind. And it's like, the reality is that you're not behind at all. You're actually so still in this moment that a lot of the things that you were ignoring because you're like, oh, that's too much for me to handle, are now coming to the surface. So you're actually way further along than you would have been if you had just been doing this during the quote unquote normal days. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is a movement is one empowering thing that I do. Another thing is, like I mentioned before, journaling, writing down the things that I'm anxious about, noting if those are actually true things or if they're stories that my mind is telling me to keep me in scarcity, because regardless of what we like to think, our body functions in either fight or flight. So we feel comfortable in fight, we feel comfortable in flight, and both of those are like life or death. So anything other than that is just very abnormal to our mind and our body and our cells.
That is so bang on. I wonder too, though, I mean, if you have your own personal practices and you help encourage others to do the same, what are other things that you have found that you can do? I love that you said going to the movies or, you know, just going out, whether it's even going for a walk outside or going to a park, going to visit friends. I mean, there's so many things, like you said, that people especially that are stuck within city buildings or city limits or tight quarters with others might experience this a bit differently. I mean, I'm in the middle of 13 acres in an off-grid property right now, which is pretty sweet. I don't feel that so much. But the numbing practices that we all have that we might not be aware of until they've been stripped, what other types of things might you be able to encourage others or share with others that kind of comes up in this time of isolation?
When it comes to numbing, like this is the reality of numbing is that we're doing things to support us ignoring our intuition, our deep wants and desires and needs as humans. And when what I'm finding to be like really present right now is that a lot of people are saying, you know, I'm numbing out with social media, I'm numbing out with food, like the quarantine 19, you know, all of these funny memes that we see. But the reality is that like what is underneath that? So one of the pieces of my program, it's a bonus module. It's called Feel Your Food. And I'm really passionate about getting people to connect their emotions to the nourishment physically that we put into our bodies. So when you're standing in front of the refrigerator, or like me, if you black out and you're halfway through a jar of peanut butter, it's really important at that time to name the emotions that got you there.
Right.
And as painful as that might sound, right? As painful as it might sound to be like admitting that you are the one who's in control of the nourishment, the food, the energy that you put in and around your body. You are in complete control of that. It's really, really also very powerful because we get to notice, and a lot of my emotional eating right now is due to like the anxiety that I'm feeling from my clients or my community, getting messages being like, hey, I don't know how I'm going to make it through this day. I'm homeschooling 3 kids. I'm working fully from home. I'm just like, I'm at my wit's end. And the reality is that I don't have the answers, but what I do know is that like, by naming that anxiety that I'm feeling collectively, it can then empower me to stop numbing around why I get anxious around the collective feeling this way. Is it because I feel out of control? Is it feel like I'm feeling helpless? Like the helplessness and feeling alone and sadness are baseline emotions. And all of those reign true for me during this time because it's like, I wish that I had the capacity and just like the energy to just stand up in front of the entire world and be like, it's okay. This is what we can do. But that's not my place, nor is it my desire or my like my journey right here and now. However, I can still feel that helplessness because there are so many people who I know just maybe even if they listen to this conversation could change a lot of the outcome of their experience during this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. You nailed it with there is such a power in being able to name your anxieties or to, I even say to name your emotions. I really work with my students with this as well. is naming your emotions. So instead of saying I'm sad or I'm frustrated or I'm stressed, it's no, you are feeling sad or you are experiencing sadness or you feel stressed, you're experiencing stress. And I'd never really put two and two together. I mean, I know that myself, I take on a lot of other people's anxieties or fears, and I've got 92 students. So, I mean, I take on a lot of their worries, especially now. So that is a great practice. And I think that that is one that is so, it might be hard to start, but it's such an easy concept when you think about just sitting down, whether it's in a note on your phone or physically with a piece of paper and a pen, to sit down and to really dig deep into the emotions that you're experiencing and the anxieties and name them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, period. Name them.
Yeah.
And the thing is that a lot of people are scared of that. A lot of people are scared of, I recently had a client, we were on a call and she's really working through this struggle between what she wants and what she thinks society wants,
mm-hmm.
right? This yeah. expectation that she's placing on herself to be a certain way because she thinks other people are expecting that of her. So after having a conversation with her, I had her detach the things that she wants for herself and the things that she thinks society wants from herself. And it was pure magic. It was really cool to experience her detaching from that expectation in as short of a period of time as a phone call, mm-hmm. you know, and that power that we have when we're giving ourselves permission to look in the mirror and figure out what's right and wrong for us, or as I like to reframe right and wrong, what's effective and ineffective for us. And it's really, really cool to see people taking ownership for their feelings because it's a lot easier. It might feel easier to blame other people or extenuating circumstances
for, sure. yep.
for your feelings. Like blame is super easy, but it doesn't feel good because there's no resolution. Because pointing your finger out at someone else, you can't control what the other person is doing. The only thing that you can control is how you're showing up and what you're doing and what you are feeling and the emotions that are impacting you. So what can you do differently? And what can you do to point your finger back at yourself and just empower change and take full control and ownership of your journey?
Mm-hmm. Yep, your own actions. Absolutely. I'm trying to think of other people in different situations as well. If we've now named one about naming your anxieties and your emotions and trying to dig a little bit deeper, go introspective with what's going on in your own personal world. Fortunately, I mean, I can see a counselor. I can go to a therapist. I have the ability and the finances and the benefits, to be honest, to do that. What are some things that people that might feel a little bit financially stuck, especially now, or might not have the means to see a therapist or a counselor, what are some steps you think that they can take to look after their mental health now and forever?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a really, really important conversation about privilege and, mm-hmm. you know, the privilege that we experience as, you know, having a roof over our heads,
yep.
being able to stay home from work, having the luxuries of doing those types of things. It's not something that I like to overlook or take for granted at all. The privilege that I experience as a human in this world. And if you're in this point where you're struggling because you feel like you're out of control, you feel like you don't have the choice of the person that you're quarantining with, or you don't have the financial means to, you know, work with a therapist, a counselor, or a coach, what can you do right here and now is accept that that is your current reality and give yourself permission to expand outside of it. What would it feel to experience the privilege of going to see a counselor? What would that feel like? Embody that feeling. And I would even challenge you to use one of my favorite tools, which is what I call present tense journaling. Write it down as if you already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Write it down as if you already have it. And I know that it may sound a little woo-woo. It may sound a little like out there for some of us who are so caught up in our anxiety and our emotions and our fear right now to think, okay, well, the last thing that I'm going to do is write down, I am so grateful that I have warm running water right now, and because I don't, like, that just would make me feel silly. But it's like owning the fact that by believing that you have it, sooner or later, you will have it. Mm-hmm. It might not come to you the way that you think it may, right? Like, if you're not getting super specific, that warm water might come to you in a summer thunderstorm downpour, you know, those like amazing, like where it's like so hot and humid outside, but then it starts raining.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like getting really specific. And then furthermore, you know, asking for what you want, right? Like, I find a lot of people are really scared to ask for what they want.
Absolutely.
The fear of rejection. Mm-hmm. And the reality for me is that rejection is ultimately protection. Rejection mm-hmm. is redirection. It's like, how many times have you wanted to go out and get something and then you haven't been able to get it? And then a week later, you realize that it wasn't right for you. And what if you had spent the money or spent the time or spent the energy on purchasing that thing and then you were stuck with it? Mm-hmm. So allowing your life right here and now to dictate your thoughts in a positive and expansive way. And the final thing, which is really challenging for a lot of people, especially during this time, is that, you know, everything is happening for you, not happening mm-hmm. to you. And, you know, let's say that you're on the brink of losing your home because you're behind in the mortgage because you lost your job. And your landlord isn't flexible and the bank wants to foreclose or whatever it might be. Well, right here now, you have two options. Of course, you do have to take care of yourself. You get to take care of yourself. And on the other side, I would challenge you to think, okay, how can I let this never happen to me again? How can I empower myself to never let this happen again? And you'll kind of like jump down into a rabbit hole of understanding that the decisions that you made have gotten you to right exactly where you are in mm-hmm. your life. So the decisions of whether you weren't responsible financially or you turned down a job that you knew in your heart you loved, but it just felt like it would be too much work. It would mm-hmm. be too hard, or you didn't feel worthy of it. Like, all of these things, if you look back on your life, there are so many opportunities for you to challenge and empower yourself to learn and know that everything that we go through, if it doesn't feel good, it's just the universe giving us an opportunity to up level, lean into that feeling, notice the fear, notice the discomfort, and empower ourselves to step up into another level of magic.
When you see those, the quotes, it might be like, feel the fear and do it anyway kind of thing. It's allowing you to assess what really matters. What are your values? What are your core values? What actually matters? And do you, in fact, believe in yourself enough to take that step up? Make a mistake, right? You know, make a mistake, try something new, and allow yourself to believe in the universe. I know that that concept might be so, like we said, out there or woo-woo for a lot of people, but there is so much trust to be had in that beautiful universe. Let me tell you, every single day, I feel so grateful.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I just have to empathize that, like, it right here and now, this might not be the best time to receive this information for some of you.
That's right.
And just, and notice that. And that's okay. Like, you hearing this conversation and seeing where Amanda and I are in our lives, this has nothing to do with your journey. It's my hope with these conversations that I have is that I can empower you to see my story, see the small things that I did to empower change, and know that you can do that too. And if you're not ready to do it now, there's no shame in that game. The last thing that I want is for you to feel shame and feel like you should be at a certain place, when the reality is that you are exactly where you are meant to be.
Thank you so much for clarifying that. I really, really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
On that note, I would love it if you shared a bit about what your program is.
Yeah. So, you know, as I shared in my story, I didn't have anyone teaching me how to lean into this journey. I didn't have anyone telling me how to communicate. I didn't have anyone saying, this is what present tense journaling is. This is what gratitude journaling is. Like at the beginning of my journey, I had nothing. I just had myself and fear and anxiety fueling me. And it was survival at its finest. And because I've been through so many different pieces of the journey, I've created what I think is one of the most powerful programs in actualizing confidence, self-compassion, and defining your individuality and leaning into that. So what this looks like is over the course of 12 weeks, you and I would be on a journey where I supply you with my 5-module course, which is called the Self-Love Success Path. And within this journey, I'm teaching you how to discover yourself, how to be aware of the things that excite you and don't excite you, how to accept who you are as an individual. One of my favorite pieces is how to express yourself. Mm-hmm. And finally, how to wrap all that up into a beautiful bow and carry it around with you wherever you go. My program is called the Self-Love Diet, and not because it has anything to do with restriction, but because I'm a rebel and I want to get to the true core definition of diet, which is strictly habitual nourishment. That's all it is. So over the course of 12 weeks, I'm teaching you how to habitually nourish the devotion to your individuality. And it's a group program, so you're always constantly reminded that you are not alone. And I also offer one-on-one support, which feels really, really good because everyone's journey is different. And because we're all individuals, it would be silly of me to think that I could just lump everyone into a single course and they would have all of their problems solved. So I love that I have the opportunity to give one-on-one support to all of my clients as well.
Mm-hmm. So you're facilitating this in a group manner with the one-on-one, because then that collective consciousness of just being able to be with other people and share their ups and downs and highs and lows throughout, I think is really powerful, because that's where that connection comes from of, wow, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah. And that's the biggest issue that a lot of people think is they think that they're the only ones struggling, mm-hmm. that they're the only ones that are worried about X, Y, and Z. And the reality is that when clients are called into my program, it always feels like they're all going through the same exact thing. And it's really beautiful because friendships and camaraderie is formed in days around just acceptance and love and compassion.
And that in itself has so much beauty and power in it. I feel like the biggest lessons that you can learn are ones that you may feel alone in and then realize you're not. It shapes your perspective.
It really, really does.
I wanted to ask you as well, when it comes to being proactive or protecting your mental health proactively, or at least being mindful of your mindset or where your head's at, like we said, naming your emotions and your anxieties, just bringing an awareness to as much as you can in your life, even to what you're putting into your body, what you're feeling when you open the fridge, all of these things. Do you have anything else that you could indicate would maybe be a strong practice during this time for people to just really dig into a positive mindset?
I think that it's not ignoring the negative mindset that's living in them currently. Mm. It's just because if you're listening to this and you're like, yes, that sounds great. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be positive, positive, positive. Well, that's negating the fact that there are other things that are currently happening mm-hmm. in your life that might not feel good. And you have to get to the bottom of those before you can build self-love and compassion and positivity. And that's why it's important for me with all of my clients to first things first, get them to name all of the things that aren't filling them up. Name all of the things that they're struggling with. So then we can look at the antithesis of those things and empower that and build upon that and fuel that magic.
I just thought of something when you said that. If we were to do a T-chart of self-love that society would think of goes in the one side and Paul Fishman thinks go in the other side. And I'm going to let you answer this. So if on the T-chart for what society thinks self-love is, what do you think would be listed?
I think that they would basically like everything self-care. So like going shopping, getting your hair done, manicures, working out, everything physical, taking a bubble bath, like doing yoga. Like you'll, if you search through Instagram, hashtag self-love, you'll see a lot of these things. Like the reality is that self-love is a mental act and self-care is a physical act. So a lot of times I find that clients and people that I speak to, their mind is casually blown around this concept that self-love is not self-care and self-care is not self-love. However, the two cannot function without each other. For instance, let's say you go and you get your nails done, right? And while you're getting your nails done, you're feeling super guilty about the money that you're spending. You're feeling like you should be doing something different with that time. That act of self-care, taking care of yourself, is totally going to be defunct. It's not going to be valuable at all because you are spent in a process of self-loathing and shame. So I challenge anyone who's listening who has been in that cycle of self-caring themselves out of self-love is that when you go and do these physical acts, as simple as taking a bubble bath and to as extreme as going out and buying a brand new car that you worked really hard and saved up your money for, place gratitude on those moments. If the shame is overwhelming, then know that maybe the decision that you're making, you're not ready to receive it or it's not right for you.
That's a powerful point. Going out for a run is self-care and self-love for a lot of people. And other people would look at you sideways and go, not for me, not at all.
Well, and this is just once again, like reiterating the fact that if you are going out for a run and you are just in a mood the entire time and you're just so angry about what is happening and why, like that you don't want to be on the run and you hate this, you hate this, you hate this, like you would be better served not being on the run.
That is also a very good point, because whether it's getting your nails done or whether it's out for a run, if your mindset isn't actually appreciating the act itself or really drinking it in, then yeah, it's, it kind of negates it. If we could kind of collectively come up with a list of self-care that people can try, whether it's in isolation or not. So maybe we could throw out some ideas of things that we've heard that people take on as a form of self-care, and people can just kind of pick and choose maybe something that they've never heard of or maybe try something new.
I think that simplifying self-care is something that's really important right now, because a lot of us think, well, I don't want to, or I don't have the time to like do a 45-minute at-home workout. Well, simple self-care can just be like stretching. It can be rolling your shoulders, you know, rolling your neck, shaking out your wrists, like standing up and walking around the living room from your work from home space. Like these are very simple things where you're moving your body, you're doing something for yourself. Another act of self-care could be when you're making your food and choosing something that you're feeling like would be nourishing for you, as opposed to something that's quick and easy and potentially not as quote unquote good for you. These are easy self-care things that if you can't do one, you can definitely do the other. And just continuously coming back to with gratitude. I'm so grateful that I can move my body. I'm so grateful that I'm healthy. I'm so grateful that I have access to fresh food or resources that can make me feel nourished and taken care of at the same time.
I have always been a lover of real mail. You know, sending postcards and sending mail or receiving mail is such a jackpot. When you open up the mailbox and there's a handwritten letter or a card in there, it's so exciting. And I found that that for me, that is actually something that if I'm all over the map, that that's something that really helps bring me back to center, is writing a letter to someone that I love, or writing a card or a postcard to someone, because it completely removes you from your space for however long it's going to take you to do this. If it's a postcard, not long, but if it's a handwritten letter, it might take you a while. And then to just put your thoughts and your feelings together for someone that you love, and then send it away. And I always love that act of, it's almost like you're sharing a secret or sharing something with someone that you care about in a way that once it's gone, it's just kind of that, that exhale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always really loved that. Maybe even coloring a picture. My gosh, I've got a friend of mine who lives in New Zealand right now, and she and I got in this back and forth sending mail where we would do adult coloring pages and write the letter on the back of that and send that in the mail. That was beautiful too.
That is so fun.
I know. I know. You should give me your address. I'll send you some. Okay. I have three questions that I love to finish a lot of my podcasts with, and I'm going to throw them at you. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one is, what are you most proud of?
I am most proud of my, can I say two things?
Of
course. I'm going to say two things.
Okay.
I am most proud of my ability to create safe space in the snap of a finger, and my vulnerability.
As soon as we started talking, I instantly felt connected. I thought, you have that gift of just instantly being able to be like, hey, how's it going? You're safe. So yeah, thank you for that. You definitely have that very naturally. And the vulnerability is, that's a big one too. And I feel like slowly, person by person, the world is slowly opening up to the idea of being a little bit more vulnerable, sharing stories and holding space for one another. So yeah, thank you for what you're doing. I've got two more.
Absolutely.
What do you want to be known for?
For a long time, I wanted to be, I wanted my picture to be next to the word self-love in the dictionary. I wanted my name to be synonymous with self-love and, embodiment of self. And these past few weeks have really been challenging me to think past that, because that is something that I can't personally control, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not in charge of someone deciding whether or not my name is synonymous with self-love, and I'm not in charge of that. And what can I control? And really the reality is that I just want to be known for being kind and compassionate and that safe space.
That is another from the heart answer. You're good at this. Okay. And one of my last ones, I always like to just kind of open the floor and just say, if you had a message for everyone listening, what would it be?
If you are listening to this, you are meant to hear these words. Our conversation is for you and only you. So give yourself permission to stop ignoring the signs that this conversation is delivering, because as I said, they are for you. And you are worth it. You deserve it. And you are not alone.
You are one incredible human, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I receive.
Oh, as you should. Thank you so much for making this happen with me. I appreciate you and your time so much.
Yeah. And if you're interested in, coming and following along on my journey, the Safe Haven crew, you can join me on Instagram at Paul Fishman. It's my first name, Paul, last name, fish like the things that swim in the sea, man like me. you can also take my free quiz on my website, paulfishman.love. There's a banner at the top, and it's a 5-question quiz that you can take that's going to give you the first real practice in your self-love journey that's going to fit for you and the time that you have to commit to it. So I'm really excited and so grateful for this space, Amanda. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm going to make sure that all of these are linked at the bottom of the podcast notes. So if you are listening along on a personal device, if you actually just go to the space where you're listening to this podcast and you just scroll down to the bottom, there's some podcast notes there. And you can actually just click the links that are associated with what we're talking about. There you go.
Amazing.
Yeah. Paul, thank you so much for your time and for your vulnerability. You really should be proud of it and the safe spaces that you are able to create immediately. You're talented and you are such a light in this world. I want to also acknowledge that some of the discussion about having access to therapy and counseling, that I am very privileged to have access to the benefits and the support that I do in my job. I'm so grateful for them and I honor them and I appreciate them immensely. To my listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Safe Haven. It honestly means the world to me as this podcast grows. Remember to honor your emotions, name them, sit with them, and work through them. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. If this podcast really hit you in the heart space, which I'm sure it did, I encourage you to reach out to Paul and follow him on his social media platforms. A simple way that you can help this podcast grow is to screenshot on your podcast screen while you're listening to this podcast and then share it with your friends via social media. Be sure to tag us so that we can personally thank you for it. You can find The Safe Haven on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and be sure to check out frequencypodcastnetwork.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you next week.